Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Wednesday, November the 29th, 2023. And two more days left in November, right? Today and tomorrow. And we are in the letter of 1 John. Today, chapter 3. And And then next week, we will start our Advent readings, since Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, this coming Sunday. So on our times in the morning, we will be doing Advent readings, some from some of the minor prophets, of course, from the Gospels. And the letters of the Apostle Paul and others. So anyway, Advent readings beginning next week. So I hope you'll spread the word about that. I created an event on Facebook and invited people to that just as a way to promote kind of starting something new. A lot of folks, even who aren't regulars on the morning podcast, like to do something like that together on Christmas. So spread the word. Appreciate it. Let's do it, y'all. Let's today jump into 1 John chapter 3. Hope you guys are having a great day. A little chilly today in Tampa, like in the 40s, low 40s. So, brr. Here we go. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That's beautiful, right? God's great love for us is demonstrated in the fact that He calls us children of God. How awesome it is for us to be adopted into the family of God, that we are children of God. We use that phrase like a lot, so it's like it becomes just ineffectual mostly when we say it. But if we stop and just ponder that phrase, and sometimes if you're in prayer, just sometimes repeating and contemplating a biblical phrase over and over brings new light and meaning to it. And that phrase, children of God, is one of those. I mean, think about that. Children of God. You are a child of God. Children of God. Like His fan, the, like you are related to God. He's your father. I mean, it's pretty cool. And so that's what John is reflecting on. What great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's what you are. A child of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So why does the world not understand the people of God? The children of God, because the world doesn't understand the Father. The reason they don't know us is because they don't know God. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. So there's more to come. There's more to come for the children of God. What is yet to come has not been seen. Isn't it good to know that God has blessing and abundance and a sharing in his glory that is yet to be experienced by us? There's still more to come. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. One day we're going to see Jesus as he is. And when he appears, and we will be made like him. Wow. Well, because Jesus is the firstborn. He's our big brother. I mean, that is one of the roles Jesus is for us. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our King. I mean, you can go on and on. He is also our big brother. And he is the firstborn among the redeemed. And so, and we are adopted into the family through our big brother, Jesus. And one day we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. Praise God. Verse 3, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So the process of being a child of God and following Jesus is there's a purification process. That we become more like Jesus, right? That's the idea. And eventually we'll be perfect, you know, when we're when Christ appears in the twinkling of an eye, we will the mortal will put on immortality. We'll lay down this body of flesh for a spiritual body. Verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. That's what, okay. So when you sin, you break the law. What? Moral law of God, the law of love, the law of Scripture. Whenever you sin, you break the law. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. So we're talking about now his first appearing, Christmas, if you will. When Jesus appeared, know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. I mean, the angels told the shepherds, right? This day in the city of David, Savior has been born. A Savior does what? Comes to take away sin. Comes to take away sin. He comes to save. And in him, that is Jesus, there is no sin. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 6, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or has known him. What does that mean? So that's good. That's an interesting one, right? It's like, okay, wait. I know however long you've been a Christian, you say, well, since I've been a Christian, I definitely have sinned. And so what does that mean? The idea is the person, once you know, I think what it means is once you know Christ, your desire is not to continue on sinning, to keep on living in rebellion against God, to keep on disobeying him. Once you become adopted into the family of God, saved, if you will, the desire then becomes to please God, not please sin, not please myself. My desire is to please God. And so I get off that sinning track where I'm doing what I want to do, but I get on the track of trying to please, of living in a way that will honor God, trying to please Him. So a person that is, it kind of goes back to chapter two, right? A person who is like continually to living in darkness, continually having no regard for what God has to say about anything, refuses to adjust their life to the truth of God, refuses to love other people as God has commanded, does not seem in any way to be making Christ the priority in one's life. That's continuing in sin. That's what continuing in sin looks like. It's the disregard for God and His word. That's continuing in sin. And what John is saying is that no one who comes to Christ lives that way. Are they perfect? No. But they have a desire to align their lives as best as they can through the power of the Holy Spirit in them with the word of God and the will of God. Yeah. What do you guys think? You know, it's worth thinking about when John says a person who is a no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. Verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. All right. So we're... The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. All right. So don't ever think the devil wants you to do what God wants you to do. The devil's been sinning from the beginning. And the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy God's purposes and plans for our lives. And he will always lead us into sin. No way around it. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. So here John is saying, you're either a father of God. I mean, you're either God is your father and leader, or Satan is your father and leader. And one is going to lead you into righteousness, namely God. The other is going to lead you into sin, because that's all he can do. That is Satan. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. What is that? What's the devil's work? The power and the irreversible effects of sin. That's what the devil does. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, sin, and the irreversible works of the enemy. He overturned them. So what sin that permanently separates from God, which is the work of the enemy, Jesus came to destroy that. And now there can be reconciliation with God. Because of what Jesus did, because Jesus came, because of Christmas, if you will, and because of Good Friday and Easter, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil and the fear of death. I mean, the biggest, you think about anxiety and worry, you keep chasing worry and anxiety back in a lot of cases, especially when it comes to phobias, a lot of fears, you chase them back, keep going back, anyway. And it goes back to a fear of death. I mean, you think about all your claustrophobia and, agoraphobia and all the phobias, right? Fear of heights. I mean, if you chase it all back, those phobias are a fear of death. but even sometimes anxieties and worries and panic attacks and all those are fears. Those are rooted in a fear of death. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, the impacts and effects of sin, and the fear of death. Paul talks about that over in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus came death is defeated through Jesus. The sting of death. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's like my favorite Christmas phrase. A few years ago, I stumbled across this phrase. I was like, that's my new favorite line for a Christmas card. You know, you got the shepherds, you got the manger scene, you got, you know, the Magi even make an appearance, different verses from Luke and Matthew, even Isaiah. But look right here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Merry Christmas. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So they can't continue following after the flesh. That can't be the ruling drive of their life any longer because there's a new seed in there. They are, God literally takes up residence in us and begins to change us from the inside out. Yeah. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Glad you guys are on. All right. This is how we know we are children of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. You'll know somebody by their fruit, right? The person who continues to live in sin, someone who does not love others, they cannot be a child of God. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. He was envious. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Man, just think about that one. Don't be surprised when people hate you. Don't be surprised when people don't agree with you. Don't be surprised when people are offended by your positions because your positions align with the Word of God. The church is so... These days, in so many pockets, the church is so consumed with being liked. They want everybody to like them. And the desire to have the world like them overrides, in many cases, pleasing God. And that is a tragedy. And you might say it's idol worship. It's the worship of acceptance over God. Now, no one likes to be hated. I mean, I get it. I mean, everybody likes to be liked, but we have to recognize and accept the reality that God's ways are opposed to the ways of the world. And if we stick to what God says and we try to align our lives and our values with scriptural values, it's going to cause animosity. Even if we act in love and kindness, it's still going to be result in the world hating you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that a murderer has eternal, and that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So the root of murder is hatred, right? The root of murder is a lack of love. And so he's kind of paralleling Cain and Abel there, right? Verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You want to know what love is? That's it. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's the greatest demonstration of love. And man, you could ponder that, right? You could just sit on that and think about that, that the truest expression of love was Jesus Christ laying down his life and all that is entailed in that. And we ought to lay our lives, we are to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can they love God? How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, why? Because God gives. Why, if God so loved the world that he gave his only son, what did God give that he gave himself? He saw a need in humanity and he gave to meet that need. And here John is drawing that parallel. If our Father is the kind of God, the kind of Father that gives his son to lay down his life because there's a need, because the world has a need, then how can his children then not mirror that behavior? In that when we see a need and we have the resources to help, how can we stand by and not help? It's incongruent with the heart of our Father. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. How to set your heart at rest in his presence. This is how. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. It's not about how we feel, right? You know, like sometimes we feel, I don't feel God. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel, and you got to remember that God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your feelings. It's based on what Jesus did, right? How do we know what love is? That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We trust that. We believe that. Even if I don't feel it in my heart, God is greater than my heart. Because my heart, your heart, can deceive us, can lead us down the wrong path. God is greater than our hearts. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Two greatest commandments right there, right? And this is the command, believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he's commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Wow. So we know that we are children of God because of the Spirit that now lives in us, that he gave us. The Father's Spirit now lives in us. Yeah. That's some awesome, it's an awesome chapter, man. 1 John chapter 3 is so powerful. Just how great it is that we are called children of God. How do we know what love is? That Jesus Christ laid down his life. God is greater than our hearts. So many good things, man. All right, you guys, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for my friends and the chance for us to read the word together and pray and just think about your goodness and what you're trying to teach us. Lord, we do consider it a blessing to be called your children, that we are called children of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming and providing a way for us to be children of God, that we have been adopted into the family through you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your Spirit that empowers us to live out a life that reflects who you are. And Lord, one day, We look forward to the day when we will see you and be like you fully and completely. God, thank you for my friends. May you bless and encourage each and every one of them today. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. We'll be back tomorrow with 1 John chapter 4. And then next week, we'll be starting our Advent reading. So look forward to that. Maybe pick up some friends for that journey. So thank you for sharing this and letting people know about it. You guys have a great Wednesday. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.